Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this December 28th, 2022. It is 10:05 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here at 10:30. We're going to welcome in our friends from ODC. Looking forward to catching up with them. Right now, we are going to hang out and catch up with our good friend, Lance Plimmel, Wood County Board Chairman. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning, James.
Squeeze one more of these in this year.
Just one more. You got to put up with me one more time, Lance, for this year. We also, of course, have Taylor and our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media in. Say a good morning to them. Thank you very much for being here. Good to see you guys. That's kind of what we're going to do a little bit today, Lance, is talk about the year in review. Before we get to that and some of the things to look forward to in 2023, I know you had some a couple things you wanted to touch on. Powers Bluff, we got some information there we wanted to touch on.
Yeah, kind of interesting. You know, for those of you out there listening or watching, James and I don't do any show prep.
Nope.
This is a free-flowing conversation, so I hope it's entertaining at least. You know, one of the things we talked about, you know, this will be our last show this year, but as we head in to the end of this year and the start of next year, you know, one of the things that we have going at Wood County is our operation up at Powers Bluff. Mm. And it's extremely well-received. It's a great opportunity when the weather provides us snow. And this year we have that. We have a boatload of snow. So we opened up on Monday. We're going to be open every day through the 1st for a morning session that runs from 10 to 1 and an afternoon session that runs from 1 to 4. And you can tube or you can ski. Those sessions are $12 is the cost. If you want to do all day, the cost is $20. But the conditions are perfect. The Parks Department would love to see you up there. And it's a great way to get the family out and have some real fun. You know, instead of sitting inside, the weather's supposed to be relatively warm, unless we have a huge rain event or something to that effect, you know, a little bit weather dependent. Should be a great opportunity. The other thing I'm going to mention is snowmobile trails are closed yet. And everybody's going, why in the world would those be closed? And the reason is there are so many trees down because of that storm. Now, I can tell you personally, I probably have 3 miles of trails on my own land, and I got about a quarter of a mile of it clear enough to get a snowmobile through right now due to the heavy snow and damage. So what they're asking is, if there's anybody inclined, get a hold of your local snowmobile club. They're looking for people to go out and help. You know, and that might be removing branches, cutting some of those small trees that have bent over off those trails. So if you're inclined, call your local snowmobile club. Give them a hand because we got plenty of snow, but the groomers can't get through some of these areas yet.
Yeah, you know, we talk about this. Actually, Sheriff Becker and I talk about this around this time of year all the time, where so many people give up some of their land so that we can drive our snowmobiles on them, and they don't really ask for anything in return other than treating that land with respect. Here's one way where we can kind of give back a little bit. We can help out a little bit. We love using these trails. Might as well help out a little bit. And this time of year, not bad to get a little exercise in, like with that. It doesn't involve shoveling. It doesn't.
Well, you know, you make a really good point, and I'd like to touch on that. You know, Wood County has a tremendous amount of our trails cross private land, and you'll see signs on those trails. And I've been a snowmobiler for, I hate to say it because I'll say how old I am, you know, it's probably like 55 years. But when they have signs that say stay on trail, or there's trail markers out there that they expect you to ride between, you need to do that, because when you violate or you go outside of those bounds, those landowners tend to want to close those trails, and it's extremely hard to work around. And you say, well, why do they care? Well, it creates ice conditions underneath, kills their alfalfa, other crops, creates other issues, and they're doing us a service. I mean, an unbelievable service. So I would beg, implore, ask you to, you know, please abide by those trail markers. Stay on the trail. Don't decide that it looks powdery out in that field, I'm going to go right across it. If that's what you want to do, find an area that allows that, and or buy your own land and
Ride
around in the powder.
Yeah.
But stay on the trails.
Yeah. Again, you know, Sheriff and I talk about this, and it every year kind of boggles my mind to a degree, because I love, first off, the almost, you know, I know there are some things signed here and all this, but it's almost a gentleman's agreement kind of thing of like, hey, I'm going to give up a little of my land here. You guys treat it good. We'll come back next year, the whole thing over again. And with that, you have this great agreement that's already in place. But then you have these knuckleheads that got to mess it up for everybody. And you bring up another point where if this happens too much, I don't have to have my trail out there. I'm taking it off.
Yep, and they close a trail. They close, let's say, a quarter of a mile across a 40. It isn't like you just go to the neighbors and go around it. It may create a multi-mile headache of trying to reroute and change things. So, you know, like I said, I really ask that you do that. The result, if you don't, is they close the trails.
Exactly.
And it gets much more difficult for those of us who do snowmobile. And I know the sheriff does ride as well. Yeah. Takes away a lot of those opportunities.
And that happens more and more and more. And before you know it, you've got like a mile trail. Like, that's it. Like, you're just going back and forth. And that's all that there is for anybody to ride on or anything. And you're waiting your turn because that's all there is. So there's plenty of other snowmobiles. That's not that far-fetched. This isn't a birthright. It's a privilege. It's something that we're very fortunate to have.
In smaller blocks of land. You know, you go up north where some of that was, you know, paper company owned, some of it's state or national forest. You know, you have miles and miles of same ownership here. Generally speaking, you know, minimally every, sometimes it's every driveway,
yeah.
But as you get to a trail, but every, you know, 1320 feet, basically that quarter mile, you have another landowner in many cases that you have to negotiate with. And when I say negotiate, I'm not talking dollars. I'm talking they are providing the right to cross their property.
Yeah. I don't think that anybody in town here that lives in town would want me to take my Jeep and drive on their lawn. They would be very upset with that. That would not be cool. That would ruin their lawn. It's not that different than what's going on here with our people that live in more country area or anything and giving up some of their land. Those snowmobiles, yeah, the things that you said there, Lance, are important too. Even just on the simple fact of tearing up ground that for them, that's their house, that's their land. They can't be doing this.
Yeah, and so, you know, so that's a consideration. The other thing, you know, a lot of our cross-country ski trail, snowshoe type opportunities, those exist right now. Those trails are groomed. Yeah. Get out there, enjoy winter. You know, nobody likes it when it's 20 below. And that was my concern. We finally got snow. It's going to be 10 below with 20 below wind chills, and nobody's going to get out. And this week, provided we don't get any rain, is going to be give you every opportunity to get out and enjoy some of that.
I encourage you to do that. There's so much to take in our area, whether it is even outside of Wood County, Portage County, all of our surrounding areas.
Yeah, those don't end at a road or a boundary.
Not nearly as much.
Those are community kind of things.
Now, Wood County is where our focus is, and there is plenty to do. I encourage you to check it out. And you can find out more by going to their website, co.wood.wi.us, co.wood.wi.us. Speaking of Wood County, as the board goes, Lance, kind of looking at the past year, are there things that stand out to you kind of in a year in review segment? That's part of this part of the segment, the year in review. Are there things that stand out to you that you guys are proud of that, not to make you necessarily speak for the whole board, but that is kind of what we have you do when you come in here. What are some things that stand out to you about 2022?
Yeah, and I do speak for myself. I am a spokesperson for the board. I try not to say anything that's going to get them all mad.
Right, ever. I hear you. I hear you.
No, I made at the end of last week's board meeting, I made the comment. We get to this time of year, and there's a retrospection, often an introspection, where you kind of take stock of, you know, where the last year took you, what those successes were, what those failures were, what we can do better. And I think each and every board member does that individually. And then as a board, you tend to look back and say, where did we do things that worked? Where did we do things that didn't? How can we do things better? Mm-hmm. And this time of year, actually from probably a little bit after Thanksgiving until after the first of the year, it is kind of a reset time. Mm-hmm. Our budgets are done. Many people are trying to use up the end of the year vacation. Oh, sure. It's a slower time as people spend time with families.
Yeah.
The state budget isn't out yet, so we don't know what kind of allocation we're going to see in the program. So we don't really start, you know, real hot and heavy on getting that done yet. So, you know, if I look back, you know, some of the things I think, obviously the big one is the jail.
Yeah.
Not too many people in their right mind would say, hey, let's spend $100 million and build a jail.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the last thing you'd want to build. There's other recreational opportunities, educational opportunities, you know, health, human services that you'd much rather probably spend money on. But the reality is when you have a jail that's obsolete and controls that don't work and safety for your corrections officers and all of those things that come together, it's something that needed to be done. Sometimes need and want are two different issues.
Yeah.
They've done a tremendous job on that. The jail ad hoc committee, Laura Valenstein, one of our local Wisconsin Rapids representatives, headed up that committee. The committee did an outstanding job. That's under construction. If you drive by, you probably see the biggest crane you've ever seen in Wisconsin Rapids.
In Rapids,
sitting outside the building there.
I get hit by nostalgia every time I see those cranes. Where I was growing up, I saw them every day. So seeing them here in town is very nostalgic for me. It's very cool to see. And I also, like when I was a kid and I saw those, I thought the same thing I'm seeing of them now as an adult here in Rapids. I see dollar signs. I see dollar signs not only staying in town here because we don't have to send, people.
We're not shipping prisoners out of county.
But also, I see a safety a thing there. I see so much in just that crane. I've been past there a couple times, so I've seen some of the little work they're doing. But most of the time, I'm driving through town, and I'm just seeing the cranes. And every time I see them, that is the conversations with you, the conversations with other board members, conversations with Sheriff Becker, they all come back. And honestly, this is just me speaking here. This should have been done ages ago. This should have been done a long time ago, but it's getting done now. That's what counts. We live in the present. And in looking ahead, I'm proud of this generation. I'm proud of that board, of all the people I just mentioned, of this city coming together. Because, I'm sure you've heard maybe even more than I have, Lance, but I've heard some people over the last 2 years that are pushing back on this and everything. And we've had some good conversations. But I haven't had one conversation that was dark or negative or anything like that. It's just two people talking that may not seem eye to eye, but nothing like tense or anything like that, because even they seem to get that this is good. I think that even they would agree that it needs to be done. Maybe they just didn't want it done on their tax break, on their taxes, which I get that. I understand it. But at the same time, look, that's the point of living right now, is doing things for the future, doing things so our kids don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, without all the information, that's some of the pushback you get. The people that attended all of the informational meetings we had, Rapids, Marshfield, everywhere in between, once they were explained, what the cost was to continue to do what we were doing, what the cost was to build, the advantages and disadvantages, I didn't have anybody walk out of there who didn't understand the process. So, I look at that as a success as we move forward. The other thing, if you have a relative, a loved one who's incarcerated, you expect them to be safe as well. They may have committed a crime, there may have been a violation, but you don't expect them to have a problem, when they're in our care. You expect them to be safe. So, that was a success. Some of the things we did in the parks, I think, some of the improvements there have been a tremendous success. I think if you look back over the last couple of years and you look at what our health department did, and it's winding up to some extent, or at least we're getting control, the COVID situation, how we were able to keep businesses open, get schools back in session, work with all of those partners. I think that was a tremendous success and a huge challenge. And, that's one place that I really have to laud our board for the ability to look forward and say, I can shut everything down. But if I do, there's consequence. And there's consequence to everything that we do to some extent. I look at the successes everywhere. Our planning is – I could go right down the hall. Our planning and zoning offices, some of the development that they're part of, and they get done. I hate to even single them out. Our land and water guys, they've all got projects that have been ongoing. And I don't know that we've had a lot of failures in those areas, as we try to get our arms around it. But like everybody else, I try to make every decision based on – what would I do at home? There's things, as an individual, and I've made this comment before, but it's pretty hard to put new carpeting in the living room if you have a hole in the roof over the living room and snow and rain are coming through. Wouldn't make a lot of sense.
No.
So when we sit back as a county, you try to prioritize. You say, what's going to be beneficial in the long run? And some of the stuff that looks short-sighted to somebody on the outside really has a very positive return on the back end. You say, why would you hire – let's say an extra person in child support. Well, if child support collections go up and you have children who aren't otherwise being funded by, I'll say, tax dollars and taxpayers, you might say, I'm making numbers up but if I'm going to pay $50,000 up front to do that, you say that's a $50,000 expenditure. But if I collect $150,000 on the other end, it's a net $100,000, to the program, the kids, and it becomes very beneficial. Much of what we do is like that. You say, what's the short-term cost? What's the long-term benefit?
Yeah.
Drug court is an example of those. When a sheriff's department and the judges in our county have been very cooperative, go to electronic monitoring, as a means of – instead of incarceration.
Yeah.
All of those things benefit everybody in the long run. And the biggest thing we can do, James, and you and I talk about this all the time, is if we made a mistake, change it.
Yeah.
You know, I say we're not neurosurgeons. I'm not taking part of your brain out. I don't have your heart in my hand you know, cardiothoracic surgeon. If we made a mistake, you say, oops, you go back and fix it.
Yeah.
There's some things that some people do in other professions that's pretty tough. But when you're in politics, if you're governed by a letter after your name, sometimes mm-hmm. you have to march along certain lines. When you work at the local level, you say, what do we do right? What do we do wrong? If we did it wrong, hey, let's fix it.
Yeah. There's plenty there that we can unpack. There's a lot there. One of the things I want to focus on, though, is the health department, like you mentioned, and in part to thank you, because there were a couple of times this year that, and in the last couple of years, where your segment, we had things we could talk about, but you brought them in, and we shifted our focus onto them and what that topic was. That was you kind of giving your time, and I appreciate that, especially one note in particular. We had some knuckleheads come to town this year and try to put our health department on the spot. And I appreciate the way that we were able to handle that as a community, as a city, and stand up and stand by our health department and give them the credit and the respect that they so strongly deserve and don't get nearly enough. That was a moment for me that stands out of last year. And you know, looking ahead after that, the way that the community, like, not only surrounded them, but was very kind of protective of our own. And seeing that again, and I feel like we lost some of that. I don't know where, and I don't know when, but it was sometime in the last couple of years, last 5-6 years, something like that. That pride that we took in looking out for each other, that pride that we took in our community, and being there for each other. The pandemic kind of created a lot of selfism, a lot of those things. I think we're getting back to some more of that as we're seeing, you know, it's not you go 5 seconds and hear somebody say, support local, buy local, that kind of thing. Well, it's now we're not just saying it. You're seeing the numbers back it up. You're seeing people actually buying local, supporting local.
Yeah, you know, it's just generally respect. You know, I'm one of 19 board supervisors. I get one vote. Mm-hmm. I do get involved maybe at a much closer level in my administrative role with, you know, departments over the course of the year. But every one of those people has an equal amount of credit. And it's amazing how much you can get done when you don't care who gets the credit.
Right.
And, you know, I always laugh when, you know, you get those invitations. Can you meet us for a dinner? Can you would you want to come and wave in the parade? I go, well, there's 18 other people. Who do an equal amount of work.
Right.
Are they all invited?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, I tend to shy away from some of those things. And I think that cooperative effort, you know, that collaborative thought process, compromise, how do we get where we're going at the end of the day? And, you know, personally, from a political standpoint, if I call that, I'm not always going to get what I want. My wish is not always the wish of the entire board. And I'm glad that we have a board that has the ability to say, my issue, well, either I prevailed or I didn't. If I didn't, maybe I should have had a better argument, and let's go on to the next issue. Sometimes, you know, you sit there at home and you go, yeah, I wish you would have done something different, but that can't be the take that I have when I meet with you mm-hmm. or somebody else. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm speaking for the Wood County Board and for our departments. So, yeah, the credit goes to the staff, to the board, and to our partners. You know, when we went through the COVID, the early part of COVID, when you didn't know if you were going to die, if you went to the drinking fountain or touched something at the copy machine,
right.
You know, the work that Sue Smith and our health department did in conjunction with local businesses, with the school districts, their superintendents, I mean, the weekly meetings, and then they touch base and come to me. I had calls every day going, when are you going to shut down everything? And I go, I'm not going to. We're going to use common sense. Mm-hmm. We're going to work with everybody, and we're going to try to come up with solutions. Sometimes credit is heaped upon somebody for doing something, mm-hmm. and you really didn't do anything.
Yeah.
It's the people that you said that you support, that you work with, and they're the heroes out there. You know, I don't go to those calls when there's an accident
mm-hmm.
or when the police get called. I'm not out there plowing snow, nor are our board members. I'm not out there generally cleaning the parks and doing the mm-hmm. things that make this a great place to live and recreate and enjoy. All those people are. So I guess, you know, if I'm talking to people at the end of the year, I said, when you see those people, thank them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm occasionally somebody will yell across the street when I'm downtown, thank you for the time you spend. Because at the local level, obviously staff are paid. Mm-hmm. But those people that represent you, whether they be on the town board, city councils, county board members, those are generally, I don't mean totally unpaid, but unpaid positions. Yeah. I mean, I hear things all the time like, well, you guys get health insurance. No, they don't get health insurance. Mm. You have retirement. No, you don't have retirement.
Yeah.
Well, you make $50,000 a year. No, they make maybe $200 a month.
Yeah.
So, it's a totally different reality than sometimes the perception. So I guess the biggest thanks they ever get is that occasional just thank you.
Yeah.
Or attaboys or attagirls.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody
else. I appreciate you mentioning that too. It's when we were talking with Mayor Blazer about this, and I was mentioning how there's certain departments, certain places that never get a thank you. I can't be the only one that noticed that during the pandemic and in the since then and all that, my garbage has been picked up every time. My recycling has been picked up on point every single time. Like during quarantine, during pandemic, the garbage gone. Not every city has something like that. And is that the biggest issue in the world? No, but it certainly could be if it's not getting done. Thank you to the garbage department. Thank you to all the people out there doing that. A big thank you, a big appreciation to them. Take a moment to thank them. I know we don't always see them, but if you get a chance to, send a thank you out there. It goes so much farther than you realize.
Yeah, we have a whole county program, educational program that kind of based around that. Yeah, and it's questions like that. And, to try not to go too far down the road, it's like, who picks up the garbage? Where does it go? What happens when I flush a toilet? Who's running those facilities?
Mm-hmm.
How does that all work? You know, generally speaking, my electricity runs every day.
Yeah.
Natural gas is delivered to my house. The propane guys show up. And that's cooperation at a lot of levels of government. You know, I think one of the things that, you know, we do well here is the other day, about a week ago, Van Orden called my office and said, they're calling us saying, hey, can we just sit down for an hour, a couple hours, and just talk about what issues are important to you? And so the mayor and I, Mayor Blazer and I, sat down in my office, and we just talked. I mean, we were all dressed basically, it was the day after that snowstorm. I mean, knee boots on, rubber boots up to your knees, flannel shirts, a vest, and just sat around and talked. And I think that there's some recognition of what we do in our area, our county, our cities, you know, villages, towns, that's been successful. And I think if you replicate that at a state level and at a federal level, things would probably be better.
When you're looking at 2023, is that the hope to continue that, to keep that kind of thing going and even more with our parks, with our community?
Yes. You know, so one of the things, you know, we talked about, and it's a big one, we were allocated a lot of money through the rescue plan, the American Rescue Plan. Those monies have to be dedicated to a particular purpose by the end of 2024. We're starting to get our arms around where some of the larger chunks of that will go.
Mm-hmm.
And then that money has to be spent by the end of 2026.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're in that process. And, you know, one of the things that our board has decided is we're not going to spend that operationally. A lot of counties said, oh, yeah, we're going to go back and we're going to pay for something that we do on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And we said, no, we're going to take that. We should be able to budget for that. We've handled it always. If we're not budget for it, then we're spending too much money in those years. We're going to take that money and we're going to do things that create a legacy. Long term. You know, you can look at, and I keep saying parks, but we look at a project in the parks. We know we have a huge child care issue in Wood County. What can we do? And we've worked with some of the superintendents already in the health department. What can we do to set up a child care network in this county that allows that second income earner to go back to work because they know their child is being cared for well, safely, and that we have, you know, adequate capacity to do that? That would leave a legacy. It pays dividends way down the road. We know we have a housing shortage. Is there a way we as a county can facilitate getting the infrastructure in so that these builders and these construction people can come in, you know, kind of shorten the time frame from start to finish because the permitting processes are done. Those types of things.
And those issues right there, gigantic issues that need to be addressed. And it's great to hear you guys are talking about that, working on that. Looking so forward to next month or next time we get a chance to get together, Lance, and talk some more about these things. Really been a fun year talking with you. Really appreciate everything you, the board, does. A big shout out to you guys and thank you to you and wishing you guys a very happy new year.
I can't tell you how much we appreciate the time, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
And of course, we got to both say a big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media and Embarrass Taylor and Joe and the gang over there.
Yeah, Taylor, jump in front of the camera for a second so they can see you.
Great work all year long. You guys do amazing stuff. We appreciate so much what you guys do for our community. Keep up the great work. Looking forward to working with you even more in 23.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great New Year's, bud.
Thank you, too.
Thank you.
We'll come back with our friends from the ODC here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.